Here's your rapid fire Roto Report as we tackle the hot topics of the day. We'll start with LeBron James. A couple of reasons to start with him. Number one, how about 61 points last night in the victory over the Charlotte Bobcats? LeBron doing it in so many different ways. Long range with 8 3-pointers, attacking the basket, making free throws to score points, 60 and 61. And he showed that if he really wants to, he could lead the league in scoring each and every year. He is that dominant. And yesterday was one of those games where he wanted to score. He wanted to stay in the game. Coach Spoelstra let him stay in the game. And LeBron put up a career high 61 points. It was impressive. Is it his greatest game ever? No, but it is his highest scoring game ever. So we watched it last night. We saw what he's capable of doing. But it was interesting after the game when LeBron was being interviewed, somebody asked if he could score 100 like Wilt Chamberlain did, and he kind of paused and said, wow, that would mean what, 39 more points than I had out there? I don't know. I really believe this, if LeBron wanted to score 100 points in a game, if his mindset was to go out there and just score and not worry at all about his teammates, because normally that's the type of player he is, passing first, scoring second, but if he wanted to score or go for the record, I think he could give it a pretty good run. It would have to be late in the season against a very bad team, and he would have to play 40 to 45 minutes. I think he can make a run at 100 points in the game. That's how dominant I think he is. And yesterday's 61 points, how about this? He scored 61 on only 33 shots. He's been efficient all season long, and he was again yesterday in his career-high 61-point game. And, oh, yeah, by the way, don't give that MVP trophy just yet to Kevin Durant. I think LeBron James, like all great players, they need some motivation. They need something to maybe get them going a little bit more. And when it was talked about at the All-Star break that the MVP trophy was Kevin Durant's, I think LeBron took that personally and now is going out to show that, you know what, this MVP race is far from over. Now, the other story involving LeBron James is the fact that he may attend Žydrūnas Ilgauskas' retirement game, meaning when they raise his number 11 to the rafters at Quicken Loans Arena, LeBron could be in the stands or in a suite or wherever because Z wanted him there. Z included LeBron James on his guest list. The Cavs confirmed this on Monday. There were about 100 names on that list of former teammates, coaches, doctors, support staff, executive, and friends, and Z wanted him there. And so the big hullabaloo about this is, oh my God, LeBron James, how could he come back and want to be there for Z's retirement ceremony with his jersey going to the rafters and everything like that? Well, Z wants him there. And if you're the guy being honored, okay, and you have a list of people that you want there and those individuals have the opportunity to be there for that ceremony, then I don't understand the big deal with LeBron James coming back and being there if LeBron wants to, if the Heat will let him, and if the Cavs are okay with it. If Z wants LeBron there, then so be it. Now, if the Cavs would have looked at this ahead of time and wanted to avoid a situation like this where everybody's, oh, he stabbed us in the back. I was as pissed off as anybody when LeBron went on national TV and stabbed Cleveland in the back and ripped their hearts out with the decision announcing going to Miami. I didn't think I'd ever forgive him. I've gotten over it. I really have. Probably because the Cavaliers have sucked since he left, and I hope there's a chance that he could come back and reunite with the Cavaliers and let bygones be bygones, admit that he was wrong, apologize, and move forward. But, you know, going back to all of that, if the Cavs really wanted to avoid all this talk that has come up on the internet and on talk radio about whether or not LeBron should be allowed to come back for Z's retirement ceremony and everything, they should have just set up the retirement ceremony for when LeBron and the Heat come to town on Tuesday, March 18th. Why do it this Saturday against the Knicks when you could have done it on Tuesday, March 18th, when LeBron would have been here with the Miami Heat? It wouldn't have raised a stink. Nobody would be up in arms. He'd already be here as a player. So I don't think the Cavaliers really thought this out or looked at this properly before the season started, unless they were just worried about selling tickets and figured, all right, let's do the ceremony for Z raising his jersey to the rafters on a Saturday against the Knicks in case we're not getting any people, because we already know we'll sell out the LeBron James game when the Miami Heat come. But you could have avoided this situation. It was on SportsCenter. Everybody's talking about it. If you just would have done this ceremony on Tuesday, March 18th, when the Heat are coming to town for the final time this year. So there's my 2 cents worth, if you will, on LeBron James and his two stories that he's in the news for. As far as the Cleveland Browns go, the transition tag, they placed it on center Alex Mack, former first-round pick in 2009. Hasn't missed a game since he's been back. By transitioning him, he gets paid just over $10 million for one season. The Browns now can match any offer should a team out there say, all right, we want Alex Mack. We're willing to offer him 4 years at $45 million with $20 million guaranteed up front. Now, the Browns have the opportunity, because they transition tagged him, to match that. They won't get any draft picks should they lose him. That would be the franchise tag, which they elected not to do. And by not using the franchise tag on Alex Mack, they saved about $1.6 million if they can't agree on a long-term deal and they don't lose him. If he just plays for this year, they save $1.6 million against the cap. What this does by transition tagging him, if you will, it allows them to continue to work out possibly a long-term deal in keeping Alex Mack. Mike Pettine, the new head coach, said he wants to keep Mack. He respects Mack as a player. Brian Hoyer talked about how important it is to have a center who acts like a quarterback out there and makes the right calls at the line of scrimmage. Everybody wants Alex Mack back, and this was the right move. If you weren't going to franchise anybody and you needed to use your transition tag to give you more time to talk with somebody about a long-term deal and at least have the security of having them back for 1 year if nobody else goes after him, it was the right move going after Alex Mack as opposed to TJ Ward. I've never been a big Ward fan. He had a decent season last year, and oh, what do you know, it was his contract year. He's been dinged up and injured throughout his career. So for me, if I had to pick between the two, and I've said this before and I agree with the Browns, I would have either franchised or transitioned Alex Mack over TJ Ward, and they did that. And remember this, now Buffalo has not franchise tagged Jarius Byrd, their safety, who Mike Pettine coached last year when he was the defensive coordinator of the Bills. Yeah, Ward and Byrd play different safety positions, but still, if I'm Mike Pettine, I want somebody back there that I'm comfortable with, that I know will be my quarterback of the defense, because I've had him as a coach already. So don't be surprised if the Browns go after Jarius Byrd and let TJ Ward sign somewhere else. By the way, unrestricted free agency begins March 11th, meaning on March 11th, you can talk with everybody and anybody. Right now, you can only talk with your own free agents. If you talk with anybody else, even though it's already being done, backdoor channels, things like that with agents, it could be considered tampering. So you've got to wait to officially talk to the player on March 11th. As far as the Browns not formally meeting with Johnny Manziel at the NFL Combine, no big deal. I don't know why everybody is up in arms about this or concerned about this. If you're a Johnny football fan, oh, why didn't the Browns use their 15 minutes to talk with Johnny Manziel? Well, you know what? If they want to talk to Johnny Manziel, they can fly to Johnny's house, to whatever football field he's working out with whatever coach he's working out with, whatever bar he's at having a beer to. If they want to talk to him, they can. So it's no big deal that they didn't sit down and meet with him privately, individually, at the Combine. So don't get all up in arms over the Browns not meeting with Johnny Manziel. Let's turn our attention to the Ohio State Buckeyes, because today, March 4th, is the first day of spring practice for the Ohio State Buckeyes. The first of 15 practices for Ohio State, and that culminates with the spring game on April 12th. Now, looking at this team coming off a 12-2 season, very disappointing finish. They were 12-0 heading into the Big Ten Championship game against Michigan State, got beat. Then they went into the Orange Bowl, and their defense again, just like against Michigan State and even the Michigan game, was an embarrassment. And they finished the season with back-to-back losses and three consecutive games where the defense just didn't show up. So the biggest thing for me with this Ohio State football team is going to be the defensive side of the football. On the defensive line, they're set. Michael Bennett, Noah Spence, Joey Bosa, Adolphus Washington, Tommy Shutt, Steve Miller, Chris Carter. I can go on and on and on, and some of the kids they have coming in the recruiting class. So up front, the defense is set for Ohio State. It's the linebacking core and the secondary where you have the huge question marks. Right now, Curtis Grant and Joshua Perry are your starting two linebackers, and then you mix in Carmen Williams and Trey Johnson. But as Urban Meyer said today on SportsCenter, Raekwon McMillan, a true freshman coming in, is going to get a chance to start and play right away. That's how bad the linebacking core is for Ohio State. Then you add in some of the other freshmen who will come once the semester starts up in the fall. Dante Booker, Kyle Berger, and Sam Hubbard. Those four freshmen are going to get an opportunity not just to play, but like Urban said, Raekwon McMillan's going to have a chance to maybe start right away because they need to upgrade the linebacker position. In the secondary, Duran Grant, Armani Reeves, Cam Burrows, Tyvus Powell, Vaughn Bell, Eli Apple, those are the guys that are coming back. And some of them got experience last year, but a lot of them got beat. And they were part of the problem as to why the Buckeyes were so vulnerable and so awful in those last three games with their pass defense. There are some freshmen that are going to come in and maybe challenge Marshawn Lattimore and Damon Webb, true freshmen that will come in. But that's the area of concern for Ohio State. They went out and they added two new coaches on the defensive side of the ball, and that's great, but you've got to get it done with the players. Meyer said it was a combination of personnel and the coaches. I'm shocked, like everybody else, that Luke Fickell is still back. I am. I thought for sure that they would fire him or he would get a job somewhere else, but they go out and they bring in Chris Ash to be the coaches on defense, the new coaches on defense, to try and help turn this team around defensively. That's going to be the biggest issue moving forward for the 2014 season. On offense, the biggest issue is going to be the offensive line. They lose four starters to graduation. Three, maybe all four of those guys could end up on NFL rosters. That's how important they were to this team last year and helped them set a lot of offensive records. So who replaces those four starters? Great question. Taylor Decker's going to move from right tackle to left tackle. He's the one returning starter. And then you've got guys like Kyle Dodson, Joel Hale, Jacoby Bourne, Pat Elfling, Chase Ferris, Kyle Trout, all trying to win jobs for this season on the offensive line. And Trout is a true freshman who's already enrolled. Don't forget about Jamarco Jones, another freshman who's not enrolled yet. But all of those guys, Antonio Underwood, Darryl Baldwin, all those guys are going to be battling for four spots on the offensive line. The only one that is really locked down is Taylor Decker. And that is a huge question mark for the Buckeyes. So defensively, it's middle linebacker, and in the secondary on offense, to me, it's the O-line. I'm not as concerned about the running back position, even though they lost Carlos Hyde. You still have Ezekiel Elliott back there, Rod Smith, Briante Dunn, Warren Ball. You can mix in Dontre Wilson as a running back and as that H-back wide receiver guy, so I'm not concerned there. Wide receivers, Devin Smith, Evan Spencer, Michael Thomas, who redshirted last year. Another true freshman that's already enrolled and could play right away is Johnny Dixon. So they have some skill possession, or I should say skill position players, who can step in and fill the roles of some of the guys that have graduated. And of course, Braxton Miller, even though he's out because of the shoulder surgery, he'll be good to go when the season starts. So he's your starting quarterback. The question is, who's your backup? Is it Cardell Jones? Is it JT Barrett? Is it the true freshman, Stephen Collier, who's coming in? He's already enrolled. I'm not concerned about Miller's shoulder. They say he's going to be fine, but he will not be able to participate in any of the spring practices. Is that somewhat of a concern? Yeah, a little bit, without question. But as Urban Meyer again said on SportsCenter today, he is going to be out on the field with a microphone attached to his helmet or to a hat or whatever. And as the offense is going through each play, Meyer said that Braxton Miller is going to have to call out the defense and say what he sees, because Meyer said today the thing that Miller has to do better, he has to keep his eyes on the coverage and really identify what's going on in the back end. And that's why they're going to mic him up, even though he can't actually participate in practice. He'll be mic'd up and he'll be behind the offensive line as the play is unfolding, and he'll have to describe what he's seeing, where he would go with the football. So that's a smart move, a good way to still keep him involved and try and get him better almost as a class, as a student, reading the defense and calling out what he sees. So the Buckeyes, do they have a team that could contend for the Big Ten championship? Absolutely. Are they a national championship contender? Possibly, but they have a lot of question marks, a lot of holes to fill due to graduation and due to coaching changes and just the horrible defensive play that hurt them in their final two games of the season last year. So there's your rapid fire Roto Report, talking Browns, talking Cavs, talking LeBron, and talking Ohio State with you. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.